Good evening, and welcome to our fifth and final Lenten midweek service before Holy Week. So next week will be our services on Thursday and Friday, Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, 3:30 and 7:15. You're invited to join us for that. No service next Wednesday, but those will resume the following week with our Easter celebration. If you would like to, please fill out the attendance card you'll find in your pews. Our ushers will collect those midway through the service, along with our offerings. Order of service for this evening is Divine Service Setting 4. It begins on page 203 within the hymnal, and we sing now the first hymn, 424, O Christ, You Walked the Road. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you loved us with all you had, We give thanks that you became one of us, no matter the pain, so that you might redeem each of us as your own. Hear us, Jesus Christ, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Lenten midweek service is from the eighth Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of the bystanders hearing it said, Behold, he is calling Elijah. Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joses and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for him for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, saw where he was laid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Together we confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Proceeded now as the hymn of the day is sung.
All right.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A reading from Mark chapters 8 and 9. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. And he said this plainly. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." This is our text. The passion predictions of Jesus had to be hard to hear. Yes, they always ended with the same promise that Jesus would rise again from the dead, but that was easily overshadowed by the statements that Jesus must be rejected. He must suffer many things at the hands of his own people. Jesus was, after all, the good guy, the great teacher, the powerful miracle worker, the one with all the crowds following after him. And he freely and readily shared the good news of the love of God with all those that he met. Still, he was met with opposition and rejection. His strong teachings could not be received without the gift of faith. And to hear of such a good man as Jesus say that he would suffer and be rejected and be killed was a lot to bear. Peter even once tried to correct Jesus after such a statement. "This shall never be to you," he said. And yet, it must be. It was necessary for the salvation of all. This way and this plan was indeed the will of God. And any opposition to it must be of the devil. And that is what Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." And how those words from Jesus to Peter must have stung. No one likes to be corrected, to be declared wrong outright, especially adults. And how Jesus' following words must have come back to haunt Peter and to haunt Judas as well. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." After Jesus' arrest in the garden, he was taken in for questioning before the high priest. In the dark of night, trying to stay nearby to the Lord Jesus, Peter was questioned by the others in the area. 3 times, Peter denied being associated with Jesus. "You are one of those disciples, aren't you?" Peter lied 3 times. "No, I am not. I do not know the man." But he did. He was one of the 3 who were the closest disciples of Jesus. Peter was the one who had made the great confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was the one who walked on the water. Peter was the one who cut off the ear of the high priest's servant in the garden. But none of that mattered when it was Peter in the spotlight. Peter denied Jesus rather than denying himself. And there was no way Peter could even follow Jesus now, even though he had sworn he would never leave Jesus alone, even if all the other disciples fell away. Then there was Judas. He was one of the 12 also. 12 selected men by Jesus to be his followers. He went with that messianic band wherever they went. And he was even entrusted with the finances of the group. But Satan had entered into Judas, not so much as a demonic possession, but as an influencer. Judas did not act as a puppet. Uncontrollably, he willingly betrayed Jesus into the hands of sinful men. At some point, Judas did not agree anymore with Jesus, with his plan. And none of the other disciples really understood Jesus' plan either, but they also did not stand in his way. But Judas decided Jesus needed to be stopped. Whatever work Jesus was doing as the supposed Christ, the Messiah of the people, that was no longer good with Judas. He had become ashamed of Jesus. Judas then was paid 30 pieces of silver to identify Jesus in the dark of night in the Garden of Gethsemane in order for Jesus to be arrested. And there he was, leading that band of soldiers into the garden. And there he was, marking Jesus with a kiss. And Jesus had predicted Peter's betrayal specifically. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times," he said. When that rooster crowed the second time, the reality set in for Peter. He was crushed. He knew he had failed. He betrayed his Lord, his master, his friend. He lied. Lied about ever knowing Jesus. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Jesus had also predicted Judas's betrayal. "One of you will betray me, the one who dips his bread with me into the dish." To Judas directly, he said, "What you do, do quickly." After hearing of Jesus being condemned to death, Judas grieved his terrible, terrible mistake. He threw the betrayal money back to the religious leaders, but the damage was done. Both Peter and Judas had betrayed Jesus, turned their backs on him. Both were sorry for what they had done. Peter wept over his sin, but remained in faith in Jesus, weak though it was. Judas regretted his sin as well, but went out and took his own life, empty of faith, but full of guilt and shame. For us, by wickedness betrayed, for us, in crown of thorns arrayed, he bore the shameful cross and death. For us he gave his dying breath. Jesus suffered the wicked betrayals of two of his close disciples. This was not rejection by strangers, by outsiders. This was betrayal of the first degree by insiders. Jesus had taught temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one by whom those temptations come. In a similar way, the denial and betrayal of Jesus had to take place, but woe to the ones through whom they would take place. As God in the flesh, the perfect Son of God, Jesus must be rejected by sinners. That is what Adam did in his fall into sin, rejected God. And each and every time we sin, we reject God. in complete rejection by mankind, as demonstrated by his close followers, would Jesus win the forgiveness of sins? Only hitting rock bottom, complete and total betrayal by mankind, could our salvation be pure? Fully the work of Christ in his grace alone. Jesus, the King of the universe, the beloved Son of God, suffer the greatest injustice and disgrace. He who owns the very crown of glory, the crown of life, was crowned with jagged thorns instead. The one who enjoys the glorious company of heaven hung naked and beaten upon the cross. He who breathed life into Adam and has given life to all the world breathed out his dying breath. Who would die for a righteous person? For a good person, someone who has done amazing things on behalf of others, someone may dare even to die. But who would die for their enemies? Who would die for those who hate them, who persecute them, who slander them, turn away from them, reject them? The only answer is God. The only reason is his love. The love of Christ compelled him to the cross, to rejection, to denial, to betrayal. The love of Christ opened the door for him to be hurt, rejected, and killed. The love of Christ has thus opened the doorway to eternal life, and is the doorway to eternal life. The love of Christ, as seen in his sacrifice on the cross, that is what it means to be Christian. Here might I stay and sing. No story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand for prayer. Let us pray now for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, though ruthless Pontius Pilate declared your innocence before the crowds, you who knew no sin became sin for us. Grant that the shame you bore for us on the cross give us the greatest honor, so that we might always see that only in suffering can we behold who you truly are, our glorious King and Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Do not forsake us in adversity and distress and in the hour of death, but have mercy on us and grant us your peace. As you have loved us, even so may we, withdrawing our affection from the world and the things that are in the world, love you alone. And as you have left us an example, enable us to follow in your steps. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord God, by the example of your blessed Son, grant us grace to accept patiently the suffering of this present time, until we receive the full revelation of your glory and full relief from all our afflictions, Sustain us by your healing grace through every trial. Hear us especially for those we name now silently before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father of all grace, you provide the food we need on our pilgrimage through the wilderness of this life in the supper of your Son's body and blood. Grant that as we receive this gift tonight, that we are granted the forgiveness of all our sins, the strengthening of our faith, empowered to resist temptation and to live a godly life in your service. Lord, in your mercy, O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected. We stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. seeing the body of Christ given. We stand to sing the post-communion hymn. God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. We're seated now as the closing hymn is sung.